السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى the way he deserves to be praised, and that is a lot. And we ask Allah to exalt him and grant peace and send his blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brothers, sisters, welcome to our session. And let me just turn off all the distractions here. Forgive me for taking a while. There we are. So we are going to jump right in, because this is a hot, hot topic for the Christians, which we are reaching out to in this evening. تفضل يا مصعب.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا لقد جئتم شيئا إدا تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا لقد أحصاهم وعدهم عدا وكلهم آتيه يوم القيامة فردا.
And they say the Most Merciful has taken for himself a son. You have done an atrocious thing. The heavens almost rupture therefrom, and the earth splits open, and the mountains collapse in devastation, that they attribute to the Most Merciful a son. And it is not appropriate for the Most Merciful that he should take a son. There is no one in the heavens and earth but that he comes to the Most Merciful as a servant. He has enumerated them and counted them a full counting, and all of them are coming to him on the day of resurrection alone. The Sheikh says, وهذا تقبيح وتشنيع لقول المعاندين الجاحدين. This is a reprimand and a call to the abhorrence, an exposition of the abhorrence of the statement of the deniers, the stubborn deniers. الذين زعموا أن الرحمن اتخذ ولدا. Those who claim that Allah, the Most Merciful, has begotten a son, كقول النصارى, such as the statement of the Christians, المسيح ابن الله, Jesus is the son of Allah. واليهود عزيز ابن الله, and the عزير, عفوا, عزير ابن الله, here it's actually mistyped in the تفسير. And the Jews who say that عزير is the son of Allah. والمشركين, and the polytheists, the idolaters, who say الملائكة بنات الله, that the angels are the daughters of Allah. تعالى الله عن قولهم علوا كبيرا. High and exalted above their statements is Allah. And يعني brothers and sisters, there's so much that can be said here. And when we're approaching the Christians, and we come to this fundamental difference between us, because really what it boils down to in terms of difference between Islam and Christianity, fundamentally it is our stance in regards to Jesus. So we have the Islamic stance, which ironically and amazingly is supported by biblical evidences, meaning the Bible actually supports our position about Jesus, while their position is really a manufacturing of theology, dogmatic theology by Saint Paul and whoever followed his path. And that was primarily inserted into the New Testament and in the letters that Paul wrote to the different people. And from there, you get the idea of, the sonship of Jesus, and the idea of him being, the source of salvation, dying on the cross, the Trinity. All of these false beliefs that the Christians uphold today are actually the works of individuals that came far after Jesus. If you go back to the Old Testament and even some of these statements that are attributed to Jesus in the Bible, you'll find them in line, and they correspond completely with the Quranic message about Jesus being a messenger of God, born miraculously, He gave sight to the blind by the will of Allah. He healed the leper by the will of Allah. He gave life to the dead by the will of Allah. He has done the miracles that he's done, which you find both in the Bible and in the Quran. However, the main difference is that in the Quran, we totally understand that no one ever competes or comes close to the Creator in terms of the rights of being worshipped, and that everyone and everything, no matter how great they are in our sight, they remain to be the creation of Allah and the slaves of Allah. Okay? لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا. You have said brought something atrocious. أي عَظِيمًا وَخِيمًا مِنْ عَظِيمِ أَمْرِهِ. Meaning it's a great, abhorrent statement and affair. أَنَّهُ so atrocious, so abhorrent, so critical. أَنَّهُ تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ. Meaning the heavens are about to break open. على عظمتها وصلابتها. The Shaykh said, in spite of its strength and power, it's about to rip open. يتفطرن منه أي من هذا القول, because of the statement. وتنشق الأرض, and the earth is about to split open. أي منه أي تتصدع وتنفطر, meaning it will shake like an earthquake, and then it will break open. وتخر الجبال هدى أي تندك الجبال, and the mountains are about to fall in ruin. They're about to fall in ruin, collapse in devastation. أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا أي من أجل هذه الدعوة القبيحة تكاد هذه المخلوقات أن يكون منها ما ذكر. Those creation of Allah are about to go through all of these matters because of what has been mentioned by the Christians. And of course, I have relatives that are Christians, especially my in-laws. And to be very honest with you, it's a very difficult situation, because the matter of religion is always an emotional matter, especially if someone has adhered to a particular creed or a belief their entire life. They have a hard time accepting external information. They have a hard time accepting external, information about their own religion. And so that creates a barrier of understanding. If only people are able to set aside their attachment, their sentimental attachment to their belief, and look at it from a logical, reasonable point of view, I think it will be easy for us to come to terms with the fact that, there's no such thing as Jesus being the Son of God. You cannot prove it from Christianity, and you cannot prove it from logic, and you cannot prove it from an Islamic point of view, obviously. I've done many lectures about this. We have the lecture, quoting Jesus. Did God become, no, the lecture, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, true or false. Do you really, I forgot the other title. Some of them were in Malaysia. They were like a re-presentation of an older lecture. How we separated commonalities and differences between Islam and Christianity. We've tackled all the details and the evidences from the Bible, because I don't want to go back into all this right now. But we've proven beyond a shadow of doubt that you're being invited to maintain your belief in Jesus. That's the point that I want to focus on. When we approach the Christians, we want them to understand that we are not telling them to forsake or abandon Jesus in totality. We are simply requesting that a modification is made in your belief regarding him. And that is a lovely thing, because no other person from any other religion will be able to make a similar request or submit a similar invitation. If a Jew wants to invite you to Judaism, they're going to tell you to disbelieve in Jesus. If a Hindu or a Buddhist will invite you to their religion, you will have to disbelieve in Jesus. If an atheist obviously is going to invite you to atheism, you have to disbelieve in everything, Jesus and God and the prophets. Is there any other religion on earth that will tell you to join them while maintaining your belief in Jesus? No, only Islam. And that shows you that how near, how close you are to the goal, how close you are to the target. You just have to overcome this emotional attachment. And if you were to do so, you'll be actually fulfilling the requests and the statements of Jesus, who said that the truth shall set you free. That the truth is the ultimate thing The ultimate thing that you can do and preach is the truth. Because there's only one way to God. You know? And their biblical verses are way too many. You're actually accepting his advice and you're following his lead, because he taught you how to pray by praying to God, by prostrating. He fell on his face in prostration. I believe it's in Mark or Matthew. He fasted like we fast. He was speaking to God. He was supplicating to God. We see he cannot be the Son of God, which makes him equal to God, and yet supplicate and have this relationship of the creator and the creation, or the master and the servant. They don't add up in one sentence. So at some point, you have to really overcome this emotional attachment and broaden your mind and your and understanding. Hear us out. And then it will be a lovely journey afterwards. I hope and pray that Allah Azza wa Jal will allow us to share this wonderful message and allow the Christians to accept it with an open heart. Let's have a dialogue. As Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءً بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. O people of the scripture, come to a common word between the two of us, between us and you. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we should worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that we should associate none and worship with him. You know, that's what you're being invited to. For if they turn away, فَشْهَدُوا فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Then say to them, bear witness that we are Muslims. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا. If they turn away, if they don't accept, then you say, we bear witness that we're Muslim. But we want to create that common platform, that common place for us to have a dialogue and a discussion, because a discussion will bring about a lot of benefits. I was watching earlier a documentary that had a Coptic Christian. You know, Coptic Christians are primarily based in Egypt. And Egypt is a majority Muslim country, but there's a big population of Coptic Christians. And one of their priests was complaining because of the leadership of the church that he doesn't agree with. But the bottom line is that in the last 36 years, 1.5 million Coptic Christians converted to Islam. Seriously, think about it. 1.5 million Coptic Christians converted to Islam. That is, and the Coptic Christians are among the most stern and difficult Christians you will find on this planet. They have the most hatred to Islam. And I've debated with some of them. I've known them personally. Ya Rabbi, you would not believe how difficult it was to even have a dialogue with them. In spite of that, 1.5 million in the last 36 years. Don't ask about the number of Christians globally. In European countries and Middle Eastern countries, those who live in Saudi Arabia, when I worked at the Dawah Center, wallahi, they will be in dozens. Wallahi, by dozens. Every day, 3, 4, 5 in our Dawah Center. In the other Dawah Centers, 3, 4, 5. Man, in the hundreds, people entered into Islam. In the hundreds, this is only in Jeddah, when I was living back in Jeddah. You guys have no idea how many Christians actually come to Islam. Because when they come across this truth, it is striking to them. It strikes them as something amazing. So that shows you that there's a lot that can be done and there's a lot of potential with them. But we need to do our homework in order to deliver this message to them. Be able to explain to them what is the Islamic position regarding Jesus and how much we love him. How we consider him from the five mighty messengers, those of strong resolution and resolve. Resolute, he was among the mighty messengers of Allah. Jesus, the son of Mary, we love him from the bottom of our heart. Subhanallah. The Sheikh says, وَالْحَالُ أَنَّهُ مَا يَنْبَغِي أَيْ لَا يَلِيقُ وَلَا يَكُونَ. The bottom line is that it is not befitting, it cannot be, لِلْرَحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا, that the most merciful will beget a son. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ اتِّخَاذَهُ الْوَلَدِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى نَقْصِ وَاحْتِيَاجِ. Because his begetting of a son indicates his deficiency and his need. وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. But in reality, he is the most rich and the most praiseworthy. وَالْوَلَدُ أَيْضًا مِنْ جِنْسِ وَالِدِهِ. Also, the son has to be of the same nature and type as his father. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَا شَبِيهَ لَهُ وَلَا مِثْلَ وَلَا سَمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal has nothing like him, nothing comparable to him, and nothing similar to him. So how is it possible that God can have a son? And if they say that what we say when we mean it metaphorically, then we say, why is the term begotten there? Right? The term begotten doesn't leave much room for the metaphoric language. It's pretty explicit how you beget a child. And otherwise, if you say it's only metaphoric in the sense that he's just a human being from among the humans that Allah created, then case closed and problem solved. So we're back to square one, that he's the messenger of God. And if he's the messenger of God, then you should be ready to become a Muslim. Because that's what we've been saying all along. That's what we have been saying all along. وَإِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا أَيْ دَلِيلًا مُنْقَادًا غَيْرَ مُتَعَاصٍ وَلَا مُمْتَنِعٍ. Everything in the heavens and the earth will come to Allah Azza wa Jal as a slave. Meaning the Shaykh said, meaning in the state of humility, being driven without the ability to resist or to prevent what's happening. الملائكة والإنس والجن وغيرهم, the angels and the humans and the jinn and others, الجميع مماليك متصرف فيهم أيوة. All of them will be slaves and properties upon which the command of Allah is executed and his arrangement of affairs is taking place. ليس لهم من الملك شيئا, and they have no part in sovereignty. ولا من التدبير شيئا, and they have no part in the arrangement of affairs. فكيف يكون له ولد وهذا شأنه وعظمة ملكي. How is it that he will have a son when this is his majesty, this is his majestic affair, and this is how his sovereignty and dominion and ownership is? How are these reconciled even logically? Logically, they don't add up. Because you only have a child when you have human characteristics or creation qualities, the qualities of the creation. When you need a child, you know, it comes as a fulfillment of something. And Allah Azza wa Jal is self-fulfilled. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Ghani, the one, As-Samad, the absolute, the one that everything depends on, he depends on none. So logically, it doesn't make sense. That's why in the same surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ, the absolute, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, he did not beget nor was he begotten. You understand? This is why they come together, because the concept of begetting children or being begotten necessitates that you have some sort of need. And once you claim that God has a need, then you have failed. And if you read the Bible, whether the Old Testament or New Testament, you will clearly see that God is weak. The perception of the divine entity in the Bible is one that negates the true qualities of a God. So you have in the Bible God looking for Adam in paradise, that he didn't know where he was. You have in the Bible that God rested. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he had to rest on the seventh and recuperate. He was fresh. He was fresh again. He needed to rest on the seventh day. How does that work? You get the exact opposite from the Quran. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And we have created the heavens and the earth and what is between them in 6 days, and no fatigue touched us. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, no sleep or slumberness overtakes him. Subhanallah. So when you know the greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah, you know that it cannot be possible that you can attribute a son to him. And after all these years from the time of creating Adam, moving onwards with Noah and Abraham and Moses and Prophet Lut and Prophet Yunus and Dawood, Sulaiman, Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub, Ishaq, Ismail, Al-Yasa'a, رضوان الله عليهم السلام, that come, we were reciting the other day in the Quran, Idris عليه السلام, and the list goes on. After all this, all of them were calling people to worship Allah alone, which is the first commandment. Then suddenly, you know, God decides to switch it up and have a son, and then that son becomes the source of salvation, therefore rendering all the people that preceded Jesus to have either been on some falsehood, or they don't get the chance to go to paradise because they never got the chance to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you say, no, it was not required for them to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we say, then it's not required for us now either. Because if it worked for them, then it would work for us. And plus, we learn from the Bible and from the Quran that God doesn't switch, doesn't change his revelation in the sense. He doesn't change the core message of the revelation. The scriptures are changed, but the fundamental of the message will never change. The first commandment has been applicable across all times, including Islam. There's no one on earth who upholds and implements the first commandment more than the Muslims. Even the Lord's Prayer, which is attributed to Jesus when he went away from his disciples before he was captured, and he called on, you know, God, Father, you know, hallowed be your name, your will shall be on until the end of this supplication, you know, that is attributed to him, that the will that you have in the kingdom, your kingdom, the will that you have in heaven shall be on earth. Do the meaning. I don't remember the exact words. What does that mean? That's technically speaking about Islam. Whatever you willed in terms of the decree, in terms of the belief system, in terms of the matters, then it should be implemented on earth. It should be materialized on earth. That is really Islam, the embodiment of all these messages from all the prophets that preceded him. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا He has counted them and enumerated them. أي لَقَدْ أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْخَلَائِقِ كُلِّهِمْ Allah Azza wa Jalla's knowledge has encompassed all of the creation. أَهْلَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The inhabitants of the heavens and the earth. وَأَحْصَاهُمْ وَأَحْصَى أَعْمَالَهُمْ Allah Azza wa Jalla has enumerated them and enumerated their deeds. فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَنْسَى وَلَا تَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةٌ Allah does not forget. Allah does not go astray. He does not forget, and nothing skips him. He does not miss a single thing. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا أَيْ لَا أَوْلَادَ وَلَا مَالَ وَلَا أَنْصَارَ Everyone will come on the day of judgment alone, meaning they will have no children with them, no wealth, and no victors, no assistance, no aid. ليس معه إلا عمله. The only thing that you will have with you is your deeds. فيجازيه الله ويوفي حساب الله. Then will recompense you and will give you what is due to you. إن خيرا فخير. If good, then Allah will give you good. وإن شرا فشر. And if you've put forth evil, then you will be given evil. We seek refuge with Allah. كما قال تعالى ولقد جئتمونا فرادا كما خلقناكم أول مرة. And you have come to us solo on your own. Just like we created you the first time around. تفضل يا مصعب.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا.
That was fast. Where are we? نعم. So indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, the Most Merciful will appoint for them affection. هذا من نعمه على عباده الذين جمعوا بين الإيمان والعمل الصالح. This is from the bounties of Allah upon His slaves who bring a relation between iman and righteous deeds. أن وعدهم أن يجعل لهم ودا. That Allah promised them that He will grant them affection. أي محبة ووداد في قلوب أوليائه وأهل السماء والأرض. That Allah Azza wa Jal will give them, grant them love and affection in the hearts of His righteous slaves and the hearts of His friends and the inhabitants of the heavens and earth. وَإِذَا كَانَ لَهُمْ فِي الْقُلُوبِ ود And if in the hearts of people there was affection towards them, تُيَسَّرْ لَهُمْ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أُمُورِهِمْ A lot of their affairs will be facilitated. وَحَصَلَ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَالدَّعَوَاتِ وَالْإِرْشَادِ وَالْقَبُولِ وَالْإِمَامَ مَحَصَلْ And they will attain all types of good and all types of people's supplication, and all types of guidance and acceptance and leadership, what they will attain. ولهذا ورد في الحديث الصحيح. That's why it has been narrated in the authentic tradition. إن الله إذا أحب عبدا. And we gave a lecture about this lecture, about this hadith. Allah calls on Jibreel. Verily, if Allah loves a slave, نادى جبريل, He will call on Jibreel. جبريل, إني أحب فلانا فأحبه. I love such and such person, so love him. فيحبه جبريل then جبريل will love him ثم ينادي في أهل السماء then جبريل will call upon the inhabitants of the heavens إن الله يحب فلانا فأحبوه verily Allah loves such and such person so love him فيحبه أهل السماء then the inhabitants of the heavens will love him ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض then acceptance will be placed for him on earth وإنما جعل الله لهم مدا لأنهم لأنه ودوه وأحبوه. And the reason why Allah Azza wa Jal placed love and affection for them is because they have loved and had affection to Allah. فوددهم إلى أوليائي وأحبابي. So Allah basically compensated them or rewarded them for that by placing love and affection in the hearts of his friends. So you love Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will turn around and place love for you among the people. And that is true. That is true. Those who are righteous, and I'm not one of them, but those who are righteous can attest to the fact that so many of their affairs are always facilitated by Allah. Like in their general condition, of course they go through hardship, but their overall condition, their matters are always facilitated, subhanAllah. And this is a sign of the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that their matters are facilitated accordingly. طيب, go ahead, Mus'ab.
فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَتُنذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدًّا وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا.
So, O Muhammad, we have only made Quran easy in the Arabic language that you may give good tidings thereby to the righteous and warn thereby a hostile people. And how many have we destroyed before them of generations? Do you perceive of them anyone or hear from them a sound? The Sheikh says, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى عَنْ نِعْمَتِهِ. Allah speaks about his favor. وَأَنَّهُ يَسَّرَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ الْكَرِيمِ بِلِسَانِ الرَّسُولِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That Allah facilitated this noble Quran upon the tongue of the messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning he made this Quran easy in agreement with the language of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. And we've never sent a messenger except that he spoke the same language as his people, so he may explain to them, so he may clarify for them. So this is a very important point for those who say, why did God not know that this was going to be the last message? So why did he not reveal it in English? Because English is the common language, is a popular language in the world. Or why did, you know, God not reveal the Quran in translations? And why? And all these questions and objections. And the simple answer to this is, a prophet was selected, and that prophet was from the Arabs. And his mother language was Arabic, and he was illiterate, to be specific, or he was unlettered. I prefer to say he was unlettered. And so it was the ideal and the logical and the wise thing to do is that to reveal the Quran in a language where his people will understand. And the reason why Arabic was chosen is because it's one of those rich languages that is miraculous in its nature, unlike the English language. To be honest with you, with all due respect, the impact that the Quran has in Arabic can never be replicated in the English language. That said, here's the manifestation of Allah's promise that the Quran has actually been translated, the meanings of the Quran have been translated to every language in the world. So, mission accomplished. Allah decreed and with his wisdom legislated that the Quran will be in Arabic, and that he allowed the Muslims and the people who carry the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to translate the meanings to other languages. So the goal was reached and the objective was fulfilled, and the da'wah have spread in the entire globe, alhamdulillah. So we have absolutely no issue whatsoever. يَسَّرَ أَلْفَاظَهُ وَمَعَنِيهِ. Allah facilitated its words and its meanings. لِيَحْصُلَ الْمَقْصُودَ مِنْهُ وَالْإِنْتِفَاعُ بِهِ. So that you may attain the objective behind the revelation of the Quran, and so that the benefit may be reaped. لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ بِالتَّرْغِيبِ فِي الْمُبَشَّرِ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ الْعَاجِلِ الْآجِلِ. So that you will give glad tidings to the righteous people by giving them information about the reward, the immediate reward, and the one that has been delayed until the life to come. وَذِكْرُ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُوجِبَ لِلْبِشَارَةِ. And mentioning what are the means and the reasons which will bring about these glad tidings. وَتُنْدِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدَّ. And on the other side, so that you may warn thereby a hostile people, أي شديدين في باطلهم. They are severe in their falsehood. أقوياء في كفرهم. They are strong in their disbelief. فتنذرهم. So then you warn them accordingly. فتقوم عليهم الحجة. So then the proof and the evidence will be established against them. وتتبين لهم المحجة. And then they will see the clarity, the plain aspect of Islam. فيهلك من هلك عن بينة ويحيى من حي عن بينة. So those who will be destroyed upon proof, and those who will be given life upon evidence and proof. ثم توعدهم بإهلاك المكذبين قبلهم. Then Allah عز وجل warned them by reminding them about the beliars that He destroyed in the past. فقال وكم أهلكنا قبلهم من قرن. How many generations have we destroyed? من قوم نوح وعاد وثمود وفرعون. From the people of نوح and عاد and ثمود and فرعون وغيرهم من المعاندين المكذبين and others among the stubborn beliars. لما استمروا في طغيانهم, when they were persistent in their transgression, أهلكهم الله. Allah عز وجل destroyed them. فليس لهم من باقية. None of them remained. Nothing of theirs remained. None of them remained except some structure, which we now use as a means of reflecting on what happened to the previous nations. فهل تحس منهم من أحد أو تسمع لهم رجزا والرك والرك والرجز الصوت الخفي. So do you hear any even whisper? Can you even hear any sound? Even the slightest sound? أي لم يبق منهم عين ولا أثر. There's nothing left of them that can be seen or any remnants. بل بقيت أخبارهم عبرة للمعتبرين. Rather, their news has remained as a reminder and an admonishment for those who seek to be admonished. وأسماؤهم عظة للمتعظين. And their names are a means of reprimand or a means of admonishment for those who want to be admonished. So now when you speak about the people of Nuh and Thamud and Ad, and the people of Nuh and the people of Ibrahim and Yunus and so on and so forth, what's left of them right now? Nothing. They're nothing but names. But those names, they warn us today about the consequences of our actions, the consequences of the disbelief of the people. I mean, the world we're living in is in such a state of disbelief, except the Muslims. You have to understand that this world is divided into Muslims and non-Muslims. And the Muslims are, what, 2 billion plus. They're not the total number of people on earth is a lot more than that. So we remain to be a small fraction of the human population. And among the Muslims, or those who attribute themselves to Islam, if you dig deeper, you'll find that a lot of these people could be Ahmadis, who are not Muslims to begin with, Nation of Islam, who are not Muslims to begin with, a lot of the Shia, depending on their denomination, but let's say the Ithna Ashariya, Ja'fariya, the Ja'far, not Muslims to begin with, the Druze, who also claim to be Muslims, they're not Muslims to begin with. I mean, subhanAllah, if you actually dig deeper and filter out the grave worshippers and this and that, you actually have a minority of people that are truly believers in Allah. And alhamdulillah, you're one of them. So that shows you what a great blessing it is to be selected from among all these humans, to be among those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, it's the greatest blessing in the world. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly the way He deserves to be praised. كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجْهِ وَعَظِيمِ سُلْطَانِهِ. Like it is befitting for the majesty of His face and the greatness of His sovereignty subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made us among the Muslims. Is the biggest blessing in the world. And in conclusion of Surah Maryam, the Shaykh says, Tamma tafsir Surah Maryam, wa lahi alhamdu shukr. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal that surah has been concluded. Before we go to Surah Taha next, in the next session, inshallah ta'ala, my final advice to myself and to you is, in terms of good deeds, we all think, Let's take it to the worldly aspect of things. From a worldly aspect of things, we are always looking at what do we get in return for our investment? What is it that will give me the most back when I invest into something? What will be the most rewarding in terms of what they call ROI, return on my investment? And brothers and sisters in faith, nothing is more rewarding than da'wah. Okay? You could recite Quran all you want, Jazakumullahu khayran. You could memorize the books of hadith all you want, Jazakumullahu khayran. You could pray all night, Jazakumullahu khayran. You could do whatever you want to do in terms of acts of worship, do Hajj and Umrah and Hajj and Umrah every year, Jazakumullahu khayran. But all of these are considered, according to the scholars, a'malun qasira, qasiratun ala sahibiha. These are deeds that are restricted to its doer. It's restricted to the doer, meaning you are the only one getting the reward, and that reward is restricted to that deed of yours. أَمَّا الْأَعْمَالِ, as for the deeds that extend beyond you to the others, the type of deeds that are not restricted to you, الَّتِي نَفْعُهَا يَتَعَدَّى, the type that the benefit actually exceeds you, is the ones that involve da'wah and calling people to khair. And we have multiple narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that teaches that man da'a ila khair, whoever calls to goodness, kana lahu min al-ajri, he will have in terms of reward mithla ujuri man tabi'ahu, similar to the reward of those who follow him, la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihim shay'a, and it will not diminish their good deeds in any way, shape or form. لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا, for Allah to guide a single person through you, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعْمِ, it is better for you than the red camels. So when you invite people to Islam, when you teach them Islam, when you bring a Christian into Islam, do you have any idea what kind of investment you got into with Allah? You have no idea. Every single deed, every single deed that they will perform from the time they become Muslim until they meet Allah, including the deeds that they acquire if they were to invite others to Islam as well. So you invite one person to Islam, a Christian, he becomes a Muslim, then he calls his mom and dad and uncle and another few people. Let's say five people come to Islam through this one person that you invited to Islam. And mind you, you don't have to be the only person that invited into Islam. You could be one of the elements that Allah used for that da'wah of his. The bottom line is he accepted the da'wah. He accepted the invitation. Now you have six people, all of their good deeds of Quran recitation, praying at night, Hajj, Umrah, da'wah, everything is, you will have an equal reward as theirs. لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا, it will not diminish their good deeds in any way. You will share the deed, not 50-50, equal, copy-paste. So if they're going to get 1,000 good deeds for this act of worship, you will get 1,000 and they will get 1,000. Not that the 1,000 is given 500-500. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What are you waiting for? Can you imagine what kind of investment and what kind of transaction this is? يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورِ, you are seeking a business, a trade that will never perish. This is the trade that will never perish. So some people will come on يوم القيامة and they will find mountains and mountains of good deeds that they will say to themselves, wait a second, I was miskeen, man. I was barely doing any nawafil. I was barely praying. I wasn't really all that in terms of the voluntary acts of worship. And you will be told, this is the da'wah. Paraphrasing. He will get to know that this is the result of the people that he invited to the khair. Mountains and mountains of good deeds. And so you're missing out, man. You are missing out. And the time you spend in writing comments, especially those of you who are unable to write good comments, because we learn from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the believer, either you say something good, أو ليصمت, فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت, either say something good or be quiet. If you cannot say something good, just don't say anything. That time that you spend in writing a useless comment, wallahi, if you had memorized an ayah from the book of Allah, or how to give da'wah to a Christian, or you gave da'wah to a Christian, wallahi, that would be far better for you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're getting absolutely nothing from this comment that you write. And people just, I don't understand what people want. Some person just wrote me a long lecture because I called Kyrie Irving dude. And supposedly, I need to make a retraction and apology for calling him dude. Like as if dude became a curse word. Ya akhi, this is, يعني الله يهديك يعني يعني سيز والله. And it's like 5-6 sentences. You should have done something good. Go to your neighbor and give him da'wah to Islam, right? And my advice to you is the Christians are the easiest group of people to bring to Islam. Wallahi, they are the easiest and the most approachable. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. There are some of them that are tough, we know. But as Allah says in the Quran, you will find the closest to you, مَوَدَّةً, are those who say, إِنَّ نَصَارَى. They are easy targets for you to bring to Islam. Don't deprive yourself of the reward associated with inviting people to Islam. And that doesn't only apply to non-Muslims. Even when you teach Muslims Islam, you teach them a hadith, you teach them a sunnah that they were not implementing, then every time they implemented, you will get the reward for that as well. But in terms of the large amount of reward, then obviously what you get from the Christians will be a big, big investment. So, you know, hey, guess what? That's the way of the prophets. That's the occupation of the prophets. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is so pleased with the person who teaches people khair that everything will make dua for you. Hatta al-hut fil bahr, even the fish and the whale in the sea makes dua for the one who teaches people goodness. Yani, what else do you want? You're getting divine support in every respect. So my brothers and sisters, my advice to you is your time is valuable. The time that you spend scrolling through comments, the time you spend commenting negatively, the time you spend saying useless stuff, wallahi, if you spend this time to learn how to give da'wah to non-Muslims and spend that time in giving da'wah to non-Muslims, wallahi, you would be better off on Yawm al-Qiyamah and you would thank me on that day for having given you this piece of advice. So have mercy on your soul and reallocate your time, your energy, and your effort into something that is beneficial for you and something that will benefit you in this dunya and when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will have a short class today because of my commitment. As you know, inshallah, tomorrow we're back to 10:30. It looks like we have a much, much less number of people here. Let's go to the Q&A and make it beneficial, inshallah. Yalla, ya Sheikh. Where did the ideologies about Uzair come from? And what about the angels being daughters of Allah? What do you mean, where did they come from? These are the statements of the Jews. It's in the Quran. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ. The Jews say that Uzair is the son of Allah. Actually, if you go through the Bible, God, as Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah, put it, God had sons by the tons. God had sons by the tons. Jeremiah was the son of God. Madri'ish was the son of God. David was the son of God. In the Bible, technically, everybody is the son of God. So it was very common in Christendom and in the Old Testament that people were called the son of God. So, you know, Uzair was among them that the Jews had made the son of God. And the angels being the daughters of Allah, this is in Surah As-Saffat. In Surah As-Saffat, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke and criticized the mushrikeen of Quraysh. That they attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal having daughters. It's actually in more than one occasion in the Quran, but the one that I could remember right now is in Surah As-Saffat. Could you have a lecture telling about Jahannam? Maybe after Ramadan, I think many among the Ummah are negligent due to the lack of information. I have a lecture, Salia. On YouTube on the subject titled Scorching Hot. Scorching Hot. So please type on YouTube Scorching Hot Wajdi Akkari or Scorching Hot Abu Mus'ab and you will find a complete lecture describing the hellfire in great detail as per the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Good question. Alhamdulillah, it's already been done. Some people use verses such as what? To say that Ahl Kitab aren't kuffar. Wallahi, I cannot see. I think I should wear my other glasses. Wait. What does it say? Or the verse where Allah says that will put Ahl Kitab above those who are against them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Well, I mean, regardless of what it says, Surah Al-Bayyinah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية. Verily those who disbelieve from the people of the book and the mushrikeen will be in a hellfire abiding therein eternally, those are the worst of creation. So any other ayah which is considered to be mutashabih, an ayah that is ambiguous in its nature, we have to refer back to an ayah that is bayina, an ayah that is clear cut, entirely clear, that removes this doubt. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Two ayah, they have disbelieved those who say that Allah is Jesus, son of Mary. They have disbelieved those who say that Allah is one of the triune God. It's a clear, explicit statement of disbelief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one can come afterwards and get some other ayah that is ambiguous and say, well, this suggests that they're this and they're that. Of course, man, they're disbelievers. Now, that's such a Western belief. What do you recommend to study this Ramadan? Tafsir. With One Way to Paradise. Did Allah know that you will use your hand gestures today? Was it predestined? Of course. Of course Allah knew that. Are you attributing ignorance to Allah? Can we attribute ignorance to Allah? Does Allah not know everything that will happen before it happens and it doesn't happen unless Allah decreed it? Of course. Everything I do and you do and everyone does is with the decree of Allah, by the decree of Allah, by the will of Allah. Nothing comes to pass if Allah Azza wa Jal had not decreed it and had not allowed it to happen. Of course, man. Go back to my lecture, do I have a choice? In our tahiyyat, we say assalamu alayka, directing the salawat to the Prophet. Why do we direct speak or refer to the Prophet when salah is for Allah? I am of those who follow the opinion, I believe it's Sheikh Albani, wherein I don't say assalamu alayka. I say assalamu ala nabi. I personally don't say assalamu alayka because I believe the same thing, that it shouldn't be directed to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are two opinions of the scholars. And the other opinion is that you don't say assalamu alayka. You say assalamu ala nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And so I follow the position that I don't address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the salah. Salamu alayna wa alaybadullah salihin. Naam. Tahiyyatullahi wa salawatu tayyibat. Naam. If a man requests unhealthy, extravagant food in Ramadan and cooking takes away from a woman's time spent in other acts of worship, is she sinning if she cooks healthier, simpler food? Yes. Yes, she is sinning because she has to obey her husband. The fundamental principle is she has to obey her husband. Now, we hope and pray that the husband can be reasonable and open to negotiation and discussion so she can negotiate with him. Say, طيب يا شيخ, whatever makes you happy. But how about I make you some madri ash or some madri ash? Wallahi, my time is tight. I would like to recite the Quran. Yani, we would assume if a person truly believes in Allah, most men will be like, yeah, no problem, alhamdulillah, order food, ma fi mushkila, I will eat. Yani, most men will make it simple. If a man is that difficult, Allah al-musta'an, this is a test for the sister. If a man is that difficult, it's a test for a sister. But can she disobey him and violate him and make healthy food in spite of him and ignore his request? No. And if she were to do so, do you think it's going to make things better or worse? Of course it's going to get worse and it's going to escalate and it's going to have a bigger problem. So no, that's not the way you go about it. Anyways, this is a matter in which a wife has to obey her husband. Allah musta'an. Why Uzair though? What do you mean why? This is their problem, not my problem. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? This is the kuffar's decisions, not my decision. I didn't select Uzair for them. They selected Uzair for themselves. Some Christians believe that God is one, such as Jehovah's Witnesses. Does it make them Muslim? No. Because Allah says in the Quran, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Nuh have belied the messengers. And Allah used the plural messengers. At the time of Nuh, were there other messengers besides Nuh? No, he was the first messenger. The first messenger Allah sent with Nuh. We're learning from the Quran that when you disbelieve in one messenger, you have disbelieved in all. So once they rejected Nuh, they automatically rejected all those who came after them. Once you reject the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you've rejected everybody else as well. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Those who have disbelieved in Allah and His messengers. وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And they want to make a distinction between Allah's messengers. وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. And they say, we will believe in some of the messengers of Allah and disbelieve in others. وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا And they want to take a path in between. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا Those are the disbelievers in truth. So Allah clearly, explicitly, I believe it's Surah Ayah 100 or Ayah 115, Surah An-Nisa, Allah explicitly said that once you want to make a division between Allah's messengers by accepting some and rejecting some, you are the epitome of disbelievers. You are a disbeliever. So the Christians who say, I believe in one God, say, okay, where's the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? Have you accepted him as the messenger of God? If they say, no, we have not, say, then you're not a believer. Because it's almost like you're making a contract with Allah on your own terms. It's like you go to a company and you want to sign a contract. You tell them, okay, I'm okay. However, I only want to work 3 hours. Yeah, but we were paying you to get paid to work 8 hours. Yeah, but I only want 3 hours. This is it. They're going to tell you, get the hell out of here, man. They kick you out. What kind of this? You're the subservient. You're the one who's below. You're going to place a condition on the one above you who's hiring you and paying your salary. Nobody's going to accept that. So the Christians want to sign a contract with Allah while having an element of it saying, no, this one we're not going to accept. You're not really accepting then. You're violating that agreement with Allah to begin with. Ishhada. Alaikum salam. Ustaz, so if I give someone da'wah, but someone else is the reason for him to convert to Islam, do I still get the reward? Yes. If you're a factor in their acceptance of Islam, then you have a share. You don't have to be the main guy, the main dude. Oh, let me issue an apology for calling you dude and retract it. Khrabbat al-shaytan. Ustaz, so if I give, how do I avoid falling into using ilm al-kalam if I give my family da'wah? I don't fully understand the difference between logic and ilm al-kalam. Could you please clarify the example? Ilm al-kalam is using philosophical principles. Specifically, ilm al-kalam is specific to the people using philosophical principles to understand the names and attributes of Allah and matters of iman. So the people of old, when they got exposed to Aristotle and their all these different philosophical foundations and concepts and ideologies, they brought them and they started applying them to the Quran and the Sunnah. And as a result of that, they started finding themselves in a situation where they have to deny what Allah described himself with, deny what the Prophet ﷺ described Allah with, because those principles were not in line with Islam. That's specifically ilm al-kalam. If you're giving da'wah to your family and you don't know what ilm al-kalam is, then you probably not fall into it. So you don't have to worry about it, inshallah. Taib, inshallah. With this, we will conclude. Last question. Also, how to give da'wah to Jews since they believe in one God? Also, they say they have oral transmission of Torah. If you come across a Jew, then you give him good. If they believe in one God, but their God is deficient because they claim that their God, got tired. And they say that Allah is miserly, and they say that Allah Azza wa Jal is Yadullahi maghloola. Allah Azza wa Jal curse them ala kulli hal in the Quran. So if they're accepting Allah, then they have to accept the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. As I told you, then you focus on the da'wah of wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, assuming that truly, as per they claim, that they have understood la ilaha illallah. Then you focus on the shahada of Muhammad being the messenger of Allah alayhi salam. And their Torah, they have a transmission. Well, I don't know what transmotion is, but they don't have anything. Okay. And even if they did, let's say they find a brand new preserved Torah from the time of Musa, then the Quran abrogates the Torah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi, if Musa was alive, he would have no choice but to follow me. If Musa was alive, he would have no choice but to follow me. So the Quran already abrogated and is authoritative and is dominant. Muhaymin is in charge and on top and dominant over all previous scriptures. Hey. طيب إن شاء الله تعالى جزاكم الله خيرا and we will see you tomorrow inshallah at 10:30 p.m. according to our usual time. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك أتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.